I should. All right, Tavosai. So we're going to finish in Yerza Hashem, Simen Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, and we're going to begin Simen Beis. So let's begin. We're actually up to it. It should be on the page that's numbered one, Sif Tes in the Shulchan Aruch. So if you remember again, so the last couple of Shiurim, so it's been 2 weeks since we had a live Shiur. Hopefully you've listened to the recordings that have been posted. So, but over the last couple of Shiurim, we're speaking about the importance of reciting Karbanos. Saying Karbanos every morning, and really understanding the concept of Unishama Parim Sefasenu, that even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, so when we recite the Psukim of the sacrificial order, there is a quasi bringing of Karbanos, there's a quasi sacrificial process that occurs as a result of that. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch goes into great detail, telling us all the different Karbanos we're supposed to say. So along those same lines, he writes, Yesh Noagin Lomar Parsha Sakir. So the minhag is to recite Parsha Sakir. So Parsha Sakir. So the Parsha of the Kiyar is, again, just so we're all on the same page. So it's the Parsha Vaydaber Shem Moshe Lemar Va'asisa Kiyar Nechoshes Ve'kanal Nechoshes L'Rachzo. So it is the pasuk, or it's the section that discusses the making of the Kiyar. So Kiyar, I don't know what the good English translation is it for. I should say laver, you know, big wash basin. So essentially what it was is it was a huge receptacle that was filled with water that had faucets. It had hand faucets, it had feet faucets, because the halacha was that before the Kohanim did the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, they were obligated to wash themselves. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the custom is to recite this particular section every single morning. This is the introduction to the section of Karbanos, the introduction to the section of sacrificial order. And the reason for this is same idea. The same way that the Kohen could only begin the Avoda, the sacrificial order of the day, if he first washed his hands and his feet. So when we recite Karbanos, we recite this section as well. So he says, Yesh Noagin Lomar Parsha Sakir, V'achar Kach Trumas Hadeshen. And then after the Parsha of the Kiyar and the Siddur is the section that discusses the taking out of the ashes. Remember, again, over the course of the night in the Beis HaMikdash, there were no karbanos. You don't bring karbanos at night. So what did they do at night in the Beis HaMikdash? They would burn the leftover fats and limbs, which meant that when the Kohen showed up the next morning for work, what did he find? Heaps of ashes, right? So what was the first order of business in the morning? Take out the trash, right? Doesn't matter. It could be the Kohen Gadol. He'll have to take out the trash, right? That's the way it works. So that's the next section. So if you notice again, the way the Karbanos are set up in the Siddur very much reflects the chronological reality of Beis HaMikdash times as well. So we begin with the Kiyar. The first thing ultimately the Kohen did as he entered in, he'd wash his hands and feet. First avod of the day, taking out of the ashes. V'achar kach parshas ha-tamid. Then after that again is a section of the tamid, the daily offering, right? V'achar kach parshas mizbach ketores. And then after that again is a section of the ketores, the incense. So essentially what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is really quite amazing. I don't know, it's interesting because it's kind of obvious when you look at it, but sometimes we're so bleary-eyed in the morning that we don't necessarily recognize these realities. But it's fascinating to see that the section of Karbanos in the Siddur mamish mirrors the chronological progression of Kohanic service, Beis HaMikdash service, each and every day. Kiyor, washing in the basin, taking out of the ash, Shumas Hadeshan, Karban HaTamid, daily offering, Kitores, and then, of course, he doesn't mention it here because this is what we recited before. And then, of course, after that, there's actually quite a number of sections that are related to the Ketores, to the incense. And then after that, of course, we come to Ezehu Makoman, right, which we spoke about in our last shir, which goes through all of the, this is a perek, this is Mishnayis, Meseches Zvachim, which essentially is this section that goes through all of the other offerings. So again, we begin with the Kiyor. We go to Shumas Hadeshen, Parshas Hatamid, Kitoras, and then after that, Izuma come on through all of the Kabbalahs. And Rabbosai, with that, we conclude Simen Aleph in the Shulchan. Beautiful. Look at Simen Beis. So now we begin to get into what we would title some of the activities, Judaic activities of daily living. Right? This is really quite a fascinating Simen that literally, you know, the beauty of Halacha is that it regulates and details the entirety of our day. From the moment we wake up until the moment we go to sleep, everything a Jew does is choreographed by halacha. So, you know, we'll say, so on one hand, you could look at that and you could say, it seems a bit stifling and overwhelming. Right? You could say at the end of the day, wow, that's a bit much. Everything is choreographed. Everything. And the answer, of course, is yes, everything is choreographed. But halacha lemaisa, there's a beauty in that as well. Because ultimately what it says is, everything we do has a level of holiness, everything we do has a level of kedusha. So we'll say with that, let's begin Simen Beis, which is the second page, the second side of the page that we begin. Should be, I numbered it two, right? I numbered it page two?
Yes.
Good. Perfect. Simen Beis. So the title of the Simen is Din Levishas Begodim. The halachos of getting dressed. We'll say this is not a shir on style. I'm not qualified to give a shir on style. But again, this is a shir ultimately again on order. So watch this. Sif Aleph. Lo yulbash chaluko miyushav. We'll say a person should not put on, literally, we're going to literally translate it literally, and then we'll understand what Talmud is really trying to teach us. A person should not put on his shirt standing up, or I should say sitting up. Eli yikar chaluko v'yachnis barosha uzraosav ba'odenu shochev. Rather, so this is actually quite amazing. You should go ahead and put your shirt on while you're still sleeping. While you're still laying down. While you're still under the covers. What's the logic? V'nimtza kishiyakum shemachusa. What's the logic over there? The logic is this, hey, by the time you get out of bed, you're already dressed. They're both saying, now what is this? So you can say, on one hand, maybe this is like a din of like zrizos, you know, of alacrity. We're getting dressed, getting moving. The truth is, that's not really it. This is a din in tznius, right? This is a din in modesty. We'll say, what is the halacha ultimately saying? Telling us, well, this will become clear in just a little bit. The halacha says a person shouldn't walk around unclothed. That's really the essence over here. So remember, you know, it's like the notion of like pajamas, right? The notion of having specific clothing for nighttime is Baruch Hashem a function of having multiple sets of clothing. So sometimes a person would, I guess, historical trends, but at least the Shulchan Aruch seems to echo a reality that people would sleep unclothed. So you'd go to sleep, you take off your clothing, you'd put it down, you'd go under your covers, you're covered. In the morning, you have to get up and get dressed. So ultimately, again, the Shulchan Aruch is saying is don't walk around unclothed. Instead, what should a person do? A person should, under the covers, put on their shirt, right? And halacha l'maaseh, this way I'm getting out of bed while still in a quasi-clothed state. So as I say, therefore, again, what's incredible over here is as follows. What's the takeaway from this? So you know, I'm obligated to put my shirt on under my bed. Under my cover. So no, what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is, you have to be tzanua. You have to be modest in the way you dress yourself in the morning. And Rabbi, that's why, again, take a look at Sif Beis. Al yomar hineni b'chedre chadarim. A person shouldn't say, look, you know what, here I am in private. Mira ani. Who is going to see me? So we'll say, this is incredibly important because, you know, we'll say, what's interesting is, we often think about the concept of tznius. Well, first of all, we often think about the concept of tznius as a concept for women. That's number one, right? And we often assume that what does tznius talk about? It talks about, you know, sleeve lengths and skirt lengths and hair and things like that. That's true. That's an element of tznius. But that is not the totality of tznius, I will say. Tznius in its purest form represents a system of behavior which engenders a sense of humility. And in that sense, the halachos of tznius apply to men just as much as they apply to women. Like many areas of halacha, they apply in different ways, right? The halachos of tznius look differently for men than they will look for women, but nevertheless, there are still absolutely halachos of tznius for men as well. Therefore, again, says the Shulchan Aruch, how does this manifest itself? Person shouldn't walk around unclothed. Person shouldn't walk around unclothed. Why? Because I say to myself, listen, I'm in my bedroom, I'm alone in my house, no one's going to see me. I will say, but remember again, the moment that you say no one's going to see me is the moment that you've lost a very important reality, which is what? Remember again, going all the way back to the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, the first statement of the Ramon Simon Aleph was, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I place Hashem before me at all times. Remember again, we spoke about the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya says this is kind of God awareness. Successful Judaism is all about recognizing that I live constantly and perpetually within the presence of God. a person who walks around unsanua, immodestly, even in the privacy of his own home, is really understanding the concept of modesty vis-a-vis other people, but is fundamentally forgetting HaKadosh Baruch. Therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, even if no one else is in my bedroom, I still have to be modest. He says, Al Yomar Hinini Bechadre Chadarim, don't say, here I am alone in my room. Mira Ani, who's going to see me? I'll tell you why. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melo Kol Aretz Kivodo. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, therefore that demands of me to be tzanua, to be modest, even if I am all alone with myself. So also, I often think that this is one of those things where Shulchan Aruch is telling us what the concept of tznius is, and we miss it. Unfortunately, like many things within Yiddishkeit, where we get so hung up on the details, which are exceptionally important, but we forget that the details are there to create for us a framework and a message. And if all you get is the detail, but you don't get the message, I'm missing out on something so profound. Siv Gimel. Yedakti Pechalukos. So we'll say, so you know, again, as our derech is, our goal is to really cover some ground in Shulchan Aruch. So there's a lot more commentaries on all of these halachos, but when we have to go in depth, we'll go more in depth. Halacha Gimel. What's another interesting halacha? Yedakti Pechaluko. The love show. Yedakti Pechaluko. A person should be careful with his clothing. The love show Kidako. To wear your clothing correctly. Shelo Yapo Chapnimi Lachutz. The Bosei specifically, Shulchan Aruch says, make sure not to wear your clothing inside out. What an interesting halacha, right? Make sure, right, to say, again, Bosei, he's saying two things. Yidakti Pechaluko Lulav Shokidako. A person should be careful with his clothing, right, or should be meticulous with his clothing, to wear it in the appropriate way. Specifically, Shelo Yapo Chapnimi Lachutz. Don't wear your clothing inside out. So Bosei, so understand. So, what's happening over here? If you take a look in the Magen Avraham, which is the right-hand side commentary, I underlined it for you. There's a gimel that says, Lochutz. What's the problem with wearing my clothing inside out? The Yiru HaTfiros. So we'll say, what's going to end up happening? If you wear your clothing inside out, then what do you see? You see the stitching, right? The stitching becomes visible. Hamaguna. Hamagunos. Doesn't look nice. V'yisgana Be'ini habrius. And the boss said, what's going to happen? It's not going to look nice. It's not going to look nice. What's going to happen if it doesn't look nice? Ultimately, again, I'm going to be looked down upon in the eyes of other people. So we'll say, there's a number of fascinating concepts that are emanating over here. First of all, we'll say, the idea, what is Shulchan Aruch saying? Have to look like a mensch. You have to look like a mensch. It's not only your mother who told you you have to look like a mensch. And not only your wife who tells you you have to look like a mensch. You have to look like a mensch. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to look like a mensch. You have to be put together. A person doesn't have to wear designer clothing. A person doesn't have to be on the cutting edge of fashion. But a person has to be clean. A person has to be orderly. The clothing has to fit right. The clothing has to look right. The clothing has to be right. So we'll say, what's the pshat? So the Shulchan Aruch says, because the concern is, if it's not, other people will look down on me. Aye, so who cares? So it matters why. Because each of us is an ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are the ambassadors of God. And as such, the way we talk reflects on God, the way we act in business reflects on God, the way we go ahead and conduct ourselves reflects on God, the way I dress reflects on God as well. And therefore, if my clothing is not orderly, right? If my clothing is inside out and people see a Jew that is disheveled, they'll look down on me. And when they look down on me, it's not only the me they're looking down on, but unfortunately, they're looking down on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So this is really, there's another interesting piece that comes out of this, which is what? Which is, we'll say, none of us really like to admit this, but the halacha is really telling you, which is, we judge people by how they look. Whether we admit it or not. When I see someone and they look a certain way, and they dress a certain way, I have to tell you something amazing. My mishas happened the other day. I saw it unfolding right in front of my eyes. There was, this must have been a week or two ago, there was a Hasidish gentleman who came into davening in the morning. And he was putting on his talis and tefillin. Somebody came over to him and gave him $1. Or gave him whatever. And the person looked at him like, Why are you giving me $1? So the person again said, you know, I'm here, take it. So I was like, see, he was a businessman who was passing through town and just needed a place to daven shachris. But what was, and the person who was giving it was doing something so beautiful. He wasn't waiting to be asked, right? He wasn't waiting until the guy came. Mamish, like, this is the reason Makdim Milamitzis, he's going. How amazing. How amazing. There's a guy who looks like a mashalach. So he looked apart, he must be. And I remember, like, I saw this, you know, like, sometimes in life, like, you see things happening slow motion, and you want to stop it, but you're just too far away, and it's just, because usually if a person is collecting, they come and they collect, they don't come in and just stand around. But it was an amazing thing, because what is the Shulchan Aruch saying, is you're judged how you look. You could deny it, you could disagree, whatever you want. At the end of the day, we are judged by how we look. And therefore, the halacha says, look presentable. Make sure your clothing is on the correct way. Make sure your clothing is not worn inside out. Good. Back to the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha Dalet. So now we've established that you have to be meticulous with your clothing. Specifically, clothing can't be inside. And I will say again, this applies to other things as well. Just in general, we are supposed to present in a neat and orderly appearance. Next, Halacha Dalet. You know, it's interesting halacha. So first of all, I should point out one more thing that's brought down in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, back to that same Siv Gimel, V'zor melilbosh beiz mabushim yachad bepam echad, ki kasha l'shichacha. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. A person should not put on two articles of clothing at once. Why? Because it causes forgetfulness. Then I will say, this is based on Kabbalah. I cannot tell you the reason. Not that I cannot tell you the reason, like I know it, but I just can't reveal it to you. I don't know what it is. Right? I will say, but there is this concept brought down in halacha. Don't put on two garments at once. Kasha l'shichacha. Okay, just interesting to note. Fine. Sif Dalit on the Shulchan Aruch. Yinol Minol Yamin. So here we go. Now we get Ma'amish into the first halachas of the day. Yinol Minol Yamin Tchila. V'lo Yikshen. Abosei, I'm putting on your shoes in the morning. You should put on your right shoe first, but don't tie it. So put on your right shoe first, don't tie it. V'achakach yinol shal smol. Then you put on your left shoe. V'yikshenu. Tie your left shoe first. V'yachzer v'yikshar shal yamin. And then you go back, ultimately, and tie your right shoe. So we'll say, it's an interesting way to put on our shoes in halacha. Put on the right, don't tie it. Put on the left, tie the left first, and then go back and tie the right. Hago. So the Rambam writes, u'b'nemana alim shalan o'she'in lam kshira, yinol yamin t'chila. Ultimately, again, says the Gemara, says the Rama, and with our shoes, where we don't have ties, so we'll say, so I guess, I don't know what the Rama, either the Rama, they're using slip-on shoes, or maybe a buckle shoe, but it sounds like a slip-on shoe. So it says, okay, obviously, there's no halacha concerning tying, so we put on the right shoe first, and the left shoe. So we'll say, again, and this is halacha lemaisa, right, don't tie, left, tie left, go back and tie right. What's the logic over here? If you take a look at the Taz, which is on the left-hand side column, Sif Gimel, it's underlined. Yino shal yamin, diyesh chashivus liyamin, le'inyon bohen yadu bohen regal. So we'll say, so remember again, so it's interesting, we know the right always has importance and dominance. So it's interesting, the example he's bringing down is actually by the Metzora, by the person who is afflicted with Saras, which is usually, you know, a result of Lashon Hara, in its purification process, so we go ahead and we apply it to right parts of his body before the left. But even without that, I will say, we know that in general, in halacha, the right always has a chashivos, always has an importance and a dominance. So because of that, when putting on your shoes in the morning, you should start with the right. What about the left? Usmol yesh bo nami chashivos le'inyin tefillin. Now, I will say, now what's interesting is as follows. The left also has an importance. What's the importance of the left? Is in terms of tefillin. Tefillin is put on the left hand. Obviously, it's a righty's world, right? So we'll discuss that in just a moment, right? So tefillin is put on the left hand. So what's interesting to note is as follows. Generally, the right has greater chashivos. When it comes to tying, the left has greater importance. Why? Because it's the left hand that the tefillin is tied on. So therefore, again, in order to accommodate, but mishum hachi, I mean, the gemara, mished Rabbi Yochanan, mished Rabbi Yehuda, tiyachal lazos kmo sheyirtze, el ranachar yitzchak amar, sheyesh om sheyotze di shneyem, viachloch lechol echan malo, dahinu akshira l'smol, dechashiv was tulini b'kshira. So we'll say, so listen to this. So therefore, again, what's fascinating to know is as follows. So what do? So we have these conflicting norms. On one hand, the right is chashuv. On the other hand, when it comes to tying, the left is more chashuv. How do we balance both of them? Simple. You put your right shoe on first, but you don't tie it first. Then you put the left shoe on. You tie the left shoe first. So therefore, by putting the right shoe on, I'm giving dominance to the right. By going ahead, then I put the left on. By tying the left first, I'm giving dominance to the left. And then I go back and tie the right afterwards. This way, I almost like balance it by giving both the right chashivos as well as the left chashivos. Now I will say, if you notice, by the way, what's missing ultimately, again, from the Shulchan Aruch, what's missing from the Mechaber, or from the Ramah, any distinction between right-handed and left-handed people. So the Mishnah Berurah does quote opinions who say that this is different for a left-handed person. But if you notice, again, the Shulchan Aruch does not make any level of distinction. And indeed, that seems to be the consensus opinion. That whether you are right-handed or left-handed, we all put our shoes on the same way. Put on right, don't tie it. Put on left, tie it. Go back and tie right. Right-handed, left-handed, makes no difference. Good. Halacha hey. So we'll say, along the same lines, kishecholeitz min ha'olav, when you take off your shoes, cholitz shel smol trila. So we'll say, when you take off your shoes, you take off the left one first. Now, what's the logic there? See, Rabosai, the conflict, or I should say the tension between right and left, is really only in the morning, when there's an aspect of tying. That's why, if you notice, again, there's only a tension in the morning by tying. In the evening, there's no tension between right and left. In the absence of tension between right and left, which one is more dominant? Right. So Rabosai says, interestingly enough, the way we show greater chashivos to the right is by taking it off second. Where else do we see this, that we give chashivos to something by taking it off second? So we'll say, so the truth is, so tefillin also, interestingly enough, that we go ahead and the shalyad comes off second as well, which also highlights the importance of the shalyad. So therefore, again, Shulchan Aruch says, and again, there's really no commentary over here, because once there's no tension between right and left, right will become more dominant, left will become less significant, therefore left comes off first, right remains on longer, thereby demonstrating an importance to the right over the left. Good. And the last halacha for tonight, writes the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Vav, Aser Lilich Bekoma Zekufa. So this is actually an interesting halacha. One should not go ahead and walk Bekoma Zekufa. So I say, actually, I'll tell you something interesting. We'll see it first. So one is not permitted. Bekoma Zekufa literally means with an erect posture, right? So what this really represents is a sense of arrogance or haughtiness. So the idea is a person should not walk bekoma zakufa, you know, like with literally again an erect posture. So I will say so. Fine. That's just a din in humility. So the idea Shulchan Aruch is telling me that even the way I carry myself, even the way I present myself, should really be with humility. Another very important halacha. One should not walk more than Dalet Amos without an uncovered head. So I'll say, we're going to talk about the halachos of Yarmulke, because the truth is, there's a lot to talk about, especially again in the workplace or different situations like that. We'll get into that, but for now, the Shulchan Aruch just says the idea is one should not walk Dalet Amos with an uncovered head. Now, I'll show you something interesting. If you look at the bare hativ, so we'll say if you see it, should be underlined on your sheet. I apologize for the smallness of the print, but if you look at the bare hativ, Sif Hey Dalet Amos Umidas Chasidus. Afilu pachos midalat amos, afilu kitanim nachon lechasos roshon, tetehave alayu imsa dishmayo. So we'll say, so this is actually very interesting. So the Shulchan Aruch says, as the Beritif says, as much as the Shulchan Aruch is saying you shouldn't walk Dalet Amos with the uncovered head, that's the halacha. That's the halacha. Midos chasidus, but pious people are careful to not walk at all with an uncovered head. Who does this apply to? So part of that midas chasidus is even for children. Even for children. What's the logic here? Fear of heaven should be upon the person. The idea, I will say, of the yarmulke, of the covered head, is a recognition that there is something, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, above me. That's the logic. Therefore, even though the halacha says, Dalaramis, but I will say that ultimately, again, I should be makbid even on less dalaramis. I'm supposed to say, just so you understand, this comes up all the time. Person wakes up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. Right? So again, I will say, so we'll get into the halachos. You know, you don't make asher yatzeh when you go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. You rely on the asher yatzeh that we're going to make the next morning. But there's definitely a concept of taking your yarmulke. Right? Definitely a concept. Now again, is there halachic grounds not to wear it? So the answer is technically yes, because we're going to discuss when we get into halachos of metila sedayim, of hand washing, that you could look at the entire home as dalet amos. And therefore, again, if I'm kind of walking to the bathroom, maybe it's pachos, then dalet amos. That might be true, but we clearly see that there's a midas chasidus to not walk around with an uncovered head. And I take it even a step further. It's not only not walk around, it's even be stationary with an uncovered head. There's just the concept of making sure that you have your head covered. So even in the middle of the night, the person's waking up to take care of their needs. It would seem to be that it's important for a person to make sure to keep their head covered. Begilo Yerosh, so we'll say, take a look at the next perhative, Sif Vav, Begilo Yerosh, Taz Zeh Sif Kon Hey, Duadin Imroche Vagabe Behema, O Yoshev Ba'agala, Havik Kemahalik. So we'll say, it's actually very interesting that Halacha Lamaisa, the Shulchan Aruch says, the perhative says, that movement of Dalet Amos is even if I'm stationary, but I'm in something that's moving. I'm sitting in a car. I'm sitting on a wagon. I'm sitting on an airplane. That's the halachos of Dalet Amos as well. If you skip a few lines in that same Be'er Heitiv, he says something amazing. He quotes over here, V'kasev, the Ataris again, Du'adin saros shekorin pruk, chashuvim kisoy. What's the name of the middle of here? A toupee. Let's say a person wears a toupee. Technically speaking, a toupee takes care of your obligation to cover your head. But what's the problem? However, the problem is, especially if it's a good toupee, people aren't going to know, right? And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, even with a toupee, it would seem to be that there's an inyan to wear a yarmulke. Well, the inyan likanis lebeis hakneses begilui harosh. So we'll say, we'll discuss about going into a shul. Vasa lahasker hashem begilui harosh. So we'll say, this is actually very important, that halacha lemaisa, Shulchan Aruch says over here that it is prohibited, Beritiv writes, that it is prohibited to say the name of God without a yarmulke. They're both saying this causes issues. Let's say a person for work purposes doesn't wear a yarmulke. We'll get into those halachas. So if you want to drink something, Rabosa, you have to make a bracha. So it causes a problem because you cannot make a bracha with an uncovered head. Okay, so I have an easy eitzah. What's the easy eitzah? Right? Put my hand on top of my head. That doesn't work, says the Beritiv. Why? He says, So putting your hands on your head does not work. We'll discuss why, Rabosei, for one simple reason, that a yarmulke has to be something that is external and extraneous to your body, independent of your body. The hand is part of the same body. A hand on my head is not a yarmulke. A hand on my head is what? Is what? A thick head. Right, that's my mishra. It's just an extension of my head. There's no yarmulke there. There's just the head. I'm sorry.
I put my hand
under your head. So we'll discuss. Somebody else's hand could work. Yes. So if you have a couple of Jewish coworkers, I tell you, it might look a little weird. Right, it might look a little weird. But yes, everybody could put their hand on someone else's head and it works. And I was saying, he does bring down an interesting case. He says, quotes the Marshal, "Imrochet ba'ambati verotze lishtos o balayla she'in lakova verosho." So we'll say, ultimately, again, there may be an exception to this, which is if a person, let's say, is in the bath, and they want to drink something, right? They're in a pool, and I want to drink something. So we'll say, so in that case, again, the Marshal says, as a bidi eved, your hand will work. There are other opinions who say, quotes the Taz and others, that it could be that your hand on your head is good enough to go ahead and accomplish that your head is covered. What it's not good enough for is what? Is to allow you to say the name of God. So that's an interesting distinction, which we will delve into a little bit more. So maybe it's good enough to go ahead and save me from having an uncovered head, but might not be good enough ultimately again to say the bracha. Now, to Moshe Ben Zion's point, so the Berhetiv says explicitly, "Vim acham aniach do arosho chashiv kisu afil inyan bracha." So we'll say, but if someone else places his hand on my head, not only does that work as a head covering, that I'm not walking with an uncovered head, but I could say brachos like that as well. And the Berhitiv Mamish explicitly discusses that case. Let's just finish this off. Rabbi Osei, the Shulchan Aruch says, he says ultimately again, v'yivdok nekavav. This is how he ends. He says that ultimately a person, yivdok nekavav, Rabbi Osei, means a person should check themselves if they need to go to the bathroom. Rabbi Osei, this, we'll see this theme over a couple of times, that halacha says you have to make sure that if you need to relieve yourself, you relieve yourself. The concept of holding back waste when a person needs to relieve themselves is considered to be a davar maguna. It's considered to make the entire body dirty. Therefore, again, the Shulchan Aruch says that a person should be vigilant and cognizant of their bodily needs and relieve themselves as necessary. Shkach was. Moshe, you had a question.
So you said the example of you wanted to drink something when you're in the pool in the bath, but you're dressed enough to make a bracha.
So we'll get into that. So it could be if, let's say, my bottom is covered, or what we're going to see is situations where, let's say, the water might be a little bit darker. So that, again, that could be considered a covering itself. Or according to some, we'll see even just the water itself. Maybe it's like if I'm at, let's say, waist level, that water itself may actually be enough to form a barrier. Yeah, we're going to get into those halachos a little bit later. Shkach v'osei.